Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're just going to read verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Almighty Father God, great God, we come before you this day, Father. We lift up our prayers to you, Lord. I'm so thankful for the saints, Father God, for the church, which perseveres mightily for you, Father God, in a world that is really messed up, Lord. We see the sin all around us, Father God, but there is a shining light. The shining light is your church, your bride, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that you would be strengthened to continue to shine for Christ, to get the message of salvation and the message of the new creation to the world around us, Father God. I pray tonight for my message that would encourage the saints, Lord, that would give them some tool that could equip them, Father God, in the battle for righteousness, Lord. I just thank you for their dedication and and perseverance to be dedicated to you and to serve you, Father God. I pray that all things that are done tonight would glorify you and be done for the edification of the saints. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All of us, if you're a human being and you're alive, which you face a challenge in this life. There are various challenges just that go along with being alive. There are the daily challenges. There's the challenges like work, family, just a daily grind of life. All human beings, you deal with these in one way or the other. Some people, deal with them head on, others run from them. But that's just being alive. If you're alive, you're going to face challenges in this life. Just being second law of thermodynamics, everything's going downhill, so that means to stay alive, you're probably fighting uphill. So if you're a Christian, it's even a little tougher. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That is that's a direct statement from God. Some of the persecutions as a Christian come in the direct form, people who challenge your belief. Other challenges lie internally, like in overcoming the old self and dealing with some of those internal habits or baggage that we might have. That old self takes a while to totally get him dead. Here we read in the Philippians here that even the Apostle Paul, I think he wrote this probably in the tail end of his ministry. He had done quite a bit. But even at his point, this writing to the letter of the Ephesians, he had overcome a great many challenges. But even he says he's pressing forward, overcoming the challenges, reaching forward to what lies ahead. So he's still overcoming at this point. So tonight I want to look at maybe a few practical examples of how to deal with those challenges. One thing about challenges in life, and actually as we deal with life as a whole, how we view this life is really based is a perception. And to an individual, perception is reality. Now don't get me wrong, that perception might not be based on the true reality, which is God's reality. His is the only reality that is true. But to the individual, their perception of reality is their reality. And we all act based upon our perception of this world around us. However we perceive the world around us, that's going to be how we act. When it comes to challenges in life, what's really our perception in dealing with them? Or how do we view the challenges that we face in life? Or more precisely, probably, how do we view ourselves in relationship to dealing with those challenges? Most of what we deal with in life is not new. In fact, most things that happen in the world, that happen to us, really get boiled down some core elements here. Turn to 1 John chapter 2:16. When I say challenges, I'm dealing with spiritual challenges here. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. That can really sum up a lot of the challenges out there. It really comes, the devil's not creative. He's just persistent. He doesn't quit. He doesn't have a lot of tricks in his bag. He just keeps pulling out the same ones and repackaging them. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. It can really be boiled down to about three categories. What our flesh wants, what our physical heart wants, our desires want, and really what our pride wants. That's a big one there too. The challenges of life may take on different forms, but if you get to the root of it, the core problems are really similar. The question is, what do I want? Do I want what I want, or do I want what God wants? Kind of looked at a little bit that this morning in a Bible class. The challenge for Christians is really how to approach those challenges. How do we deal with it when our flesh wants something, or we encounter a new challenge or new task in front of us? How do we deal with that? All of us came from the flesh. You know, at one point, we were all in the flesh. At one point, we were all separated from God. You know, so no matter where you're at, you came into this spiritual battle with a little bit of baggage. You know, you can't. We all had it. Each of us has a different background on how we came to Christ. But at some point, we sinned and fell short of the glory of God, and that really is the problem. Because when we fell short with the glory of God, that's an incident, that memory was impressed upon our brain. There might have been a few of those memories or incidents impressed upon your brain before you were a Christian, just depending how old you were, what kind of circumstances you went through, your past. And that is really the problem. Sin's the problem. What is sin? Well, it's falling short of the mark, missing the target. You know, we all fell. So the problem is that we all sin, and the memory of that sin or that failure at that point gets written on our mind. And so the challenge is really getting rid of that. I've looked at that before, but if you never knew what it was to sin or you never failed, then you really wouldn't you wouldn't have memory of that failure, and so it wouldn't trip you up as easy. The experiential data of that sin gets written to the hard drive in your head. I was thinking about this, and really what happens, whenever you encounter any situation in life, your mind immediately starts thinking, how am I going to deal with this? Does any of this look familiar? I mean, think about it as you're driving down the road. You know, if you weren't thinking about, oh, does this look familiar? Should I turn to the left? Should I turn right? You wouldn't have a clue where you're going. But your mind knows where to go. It's been there before. Unless, of course, you're somewhere you've never been. And then you're like, whoa, I've never seen any of this before. You know, but think about how quick your mind is bringing up memories. How quick. I mean, people think, I don't know if you've ever seen what's called a server farm. There's these massive buildings. Google has a bunch. Microsoft has a bunch. So when you type in a search to Google, how quickly it's bringing up data. Those things have nothing how quickly your mind can access a memory. I mean, it accesses it instantly. And your mind is instantly trying to figure out, how do I deal with the situation? What's familiar? What's going on? Just trying to get your bearings is sometimes what it's called. So when you're presented with that situation, you're trying to figure out how to deal with it. Well, the problem is when you encounter a situation that you maybe fell short. Maybe you sinned. Maybe you didn't do the right thing. Maybe you totally bombed it. Maybe you totally botched it. What happens with your mind? If the situation didn't go like you had planned, if maybe you fell short, maybe you did the wrong thing, you know what your mind's going to bring up? The memory of doing the wrong thing. And sometimes the challenge is getting over that and dealing with that. You know, just like Google, that situation gets popped up in your mind. You know, and Satan, I kind of like him like the banner on the web page saying, "Ha, you really botched it." You know, flashing there at the top, you know, telling you, I mean, yeah, saying, "You, there's no way you can overcome this. Look at what you did last time. You failed. You're going to fail again. Don't even try." That's what Satan's saying. He's saying, don't try. You failed last time, you're going to fail again. And that's how most of us work. We work off what I call experiential data. You know, we use our past experience to determine, what can I do today? You know, how far can I jump? How far did I jump yesterday? You know, how far can I run? How far did I run yesterday? You know, we look at our past and we use that to judge what we can do in the future. Most of us operate that way. You know, keeps us from getting into trouble. But unfortunately, that's operating in the flesh. See, our mind is programmed to work from experiential data. Most of the time, it can be good. The first time you do something, think about it. The first time you do something, it's really difficult. You know, and then if you are successful at accomplishing it, next time it gets easier and easier. Why? Because your mind gets programmed. Hey, this is easier and easier. But it can work on the flip side as well. If you fail, And you consistently fail, you know what? Your mind gets programmed. I can't do this. I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I failed last time. I'm going to fail again. You know? And so we want to make sure our mind's programmed that we can succeed. But that's a challenge if we've had some failures in life. We've had things where we've fallen short of the glory of God. Just as success is learned, so is failure. And success breeds confidence, but failure breeds fear and doubt. And sin really is failure. It's missing the mark, if you look at it. So once committed, sin or failure can get written to our internal memory banks. That's really why the law and the sacrificial system failed. Because it just rewrote over and over that memory of that failure over and over in our mind. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, 1 through 3. For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of year by year by sins. There is a reminder of sins year by year. All of us, for the most part, really know when we blow it. I mean, you know, it didn't take too many people to point it out when I botch it. You know? I won't say what I was thinking. My wife's just smiling at me. So, but anyhow, we all know when we blow it. You know, it's not too hard to figure it out. Being reminded of it year by year doesn't really help, and that's what the sacrificial system did. But the problem with sin, or when we're struggling, or we're trying to get past something, the first step is to try. But a lot of times, that's the last thing we want to do. I mean, think about it. You know, and so it's a weird thing, and I'm the same way. You know, if you miss a few days of reading your Bible or prayer, it's like, it's really hard to get back into it. And sometimes you feel, well, God, you know, I feel like I'm not worthy enough to do it. But actually, God's saying, this is the main thing you need to do. You know, you need to be at the assembly if you haven't been to the assembly long. You know, but you don't, you know, the hardest part is to just first get out and try. Why? Because you have this memory in your mind of failure. I haven't been reading my Bible. I can't read it today. I'm busy. You know, the first thing is to try. But that's the hardest part. Why is it so hard? Because the mind pulls up the past experiences. You got to drop the past. You got to get by the past. And the only way to get by the past is to start moving in the future. That's kind of what we read there in Philippians from Paul. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. You know, it's, oh yeah, that makes sense, forgetting what lies behind. But we have to really put that into practice in our daily activity. And that's hard. You know, but that's the only way we can get rid of the image of failure. The image of failure says, since you could not do it last time, what makes you think you can do it this time? But see, that's the problem. It is making a prediction of future performance based on past experience. If you take one thing from this message tonight, this is what I really want you to take. If you are in Christ, past experiences have no bearing on your future performance. I mean, then your past cannot control what you can do tomorrow. In Christ, that past is wiped away. This concept runs counterintuitive to your human mindset. It runs counterintuitive to the flesh. The flesh says, I can only at most do what I did yesterday, no more. If I failed yesterday, how can I succeed today? And you see that out there. That's why, I mean, I work on Montana Boulevard. Man, there's some cases. I sit there and wonder sometimes how these people end up, you know. One day I saw some blankets in a doorway at 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm going to work, and then all of a sudden the blankets moved. You know, somebody was sleeping on Montana Boulevard in there. I'm like, man, that's just a tough situation to be on. You know, it's a tough, I'm sure. Those of you who work down at the missions, you see this stuff, you know. But a lot of those guys are stuck in that failure mode. I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, I can't believe they would enjoy that life. So it's the mindset. I just can't do it. You know, the flesh says you can't because you didn't yesterday. What's the solution? If I failed yesterday, how can I succeed today? Well, the answer is on your own, you can't. The solution really is to stop relying on yourself. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4:13, one we all probably know quite well. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, Him being who? Christ Jesus. It's an oft-quoted verse, but it's very true. It's easy, and I'll put myself in the same boat, to apply this to things we are good and comfortable with. I can program all things through Him who strengthens me. Well, programming's pretty easy for me. You know, that's not a tough one for me. You know, let's go to something a little tougher for me. I can cook all things through Christ who strengthens me. that would be a step of faith in those who eat it as well. Now we need to apply this verse to the things that we maybe aren't quite so good at. Or things that are struggles, are a struggle for us. Things that we have to really work at. Or when we have to dig down and deal with that old self and the inner man. You know, I know that's a struggle. Sometimes it's easy to look good, but sometimes it's when you're alone and those weird things come out, you're like, ooh, where'd that thought come from? Well, that's that old man still in there. I got to make sure he's dead. Can I really kill him? No, according to the world, you can't. That's why they're stuck. And I mean, that's why the religious marketplaces, they can't kill that old man, that black-hearted sinner. He's still there. And I'm always going to have that memory of him in there, so I can't overcome. That's what the religious marketplace and even the Churches of Christ will tell you. You know, but God doesn't. He says you got to let go of the past. But you got to get past the past to put it the right day, right way. It can be intimidating. Why? Because you might have failed in the last time. But if you base your experiences, or if you base what you're going to do today on what you could do yesterday, what is it? What is that walking? That's walking in the flesh. That is not walking in the Spirit. You know, I can do 100 meter dash in 20 seconds, which is really slow. If I can do that today because I did it yesterday, that's just saying, well, great, big deal, I did it yesterday. You know, God wants to see what can we do tomorrow that we couldn't do today. That's growing spiritually. Past experiences cannot dictate the future actions of a Christian. That is really what Satan wants. He just wants you to keep doing what you've been doing. He don't want you to see you stretch. Because you know what happens when you stretch? You might do something really, really cool for God. You know, and that terrifies Satan. The practical solution for all of this is to focus on success. I would say focus on success no matter what you do or attempt to do. I do preface this with the understanding that I'm talking about activities that are righteous and glorifying your Father in heaven. You know, and I think we all understand that. If your actions in accordance with the will of God, really, what have you got to lose? You know, I'll try about anything. For the most part, I'm like, what's going to happen? The worst I can do is fail. You know, I'll ask people. You know, I've failed a few times. You know, but a lot of times, you know, I succeed. You know, because a lot of it is just perseverance, just trying. Plus, you know, you've got God on your side. Why not try? What's the worst you can do is fail. You know, and who cares what the world thinks of you if you fail? If you tried and you did your best, you can't fail in God's eyes. It's impossible. If you tried and gave it your best. But you know what? If you never try, I can guarantee you will never fail, but I can also guarantee you will never succeed. You have to try. Give it a shot. You know, and like I said, if you fail, is it really a failure? I think it's how you look at it. What can you learn from failures? You can learn a lot. Thomas Edison's a guy I like, and he had a quote when he was creating the light bulb. I have not failed. I just found 10,000 ways that wouldn't work. You know, because it took him 10,000 shots to get that light bulb to actually finally stay lit. You know, the key was getting it in a vacuum. But, you know, he just learned from the experiences. And that's what we can learn from wealth. Sometimes people say, well, I can't do it because I failed. You know, what really is fear of failure? You know, what does failure usually hurt the most in us? What's that? You got a pride. Yeah. And pride, that's my problem. That's not everyone else's problem. So if I'm scared to try because I'm scared I might look bad, that's pride. Well, there's a good lesson in itself. I should just give it a shot. You know, and see what happens. You know, and once again, if you're doing it with the right motives and the right intentions of the heart, you know, I bet you're going to learn something from it. And I bet God can really use that. This is where experiential data can really help us. You know, why did I fail? Sometimes I fail. Well, I didn't study enough. You know, I asked someone for a Bible study or got, you know, trapped in a corner in a Bible study. It's like, huh, great thing. I can learn from this. God showed me something. I need to study a little bit more. You know, the key point is to get past the failures. See, failure or fear of failure traps mankind like seaman overshoes. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 verses 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children, verses 14 and 15 in Hebrews 2. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. What keeps mankind in slavery? Fear. Fear of death. Fear of what might happen. You know, what they say, like 90% of what we worry about never comes to fruition. You know, stop worrying about it. You know, free your mind up quite a bit. You know, and that's what I'm kind of driving at. Letting go of that control and giving that control to God. Christ freed us from the fear of death, from the fear of sin and failure. But freedom is only useful if it's used. That seems pretty straightforward. But the question we got to ask ourselves, are we using this freedom? You know, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So once again, can you fail? You know, not if you're trying it, doing your best, if you're giving it your all. You know, we all know that for trying our hardest. You know, the question is, are we stepping out on faith and overcoming the Goliaths in our lives? Are we stepping out in faith and speaking the truth around us? Like I really appreciated some of the comments Mike Ferguson was making this made in his Lord's Supper. We can preach all about being a new creation and the freedom in Christ and overcoming sin, but are we doing it? You know, you got to practice what you preach, I think is what he was driving at. And he makes a good point. You know, I can know all the concepts in here about, you know, becoming a new creation, but is it showing up in my life? And am I actually doing it? Am I trying? You know, am I putting it to practice? Christ has removed all the obstacles. The door to the prison cell has been opened. The question is, are we walking out of it? The only one who can do that is you or me. This is really a simple but powerful concept. But truly, I don't believe most people ever get out of their comfort zone. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. That's why it's called the comfort zone. You know? Got to get out of that comfort zone. It's going to be uncomfortable. But we got to try. And you know what? The more you get out of that comfort zone, the more comfortable that, the bigger your comfort zone will become. We have been commanded by our Heavenly Father to do so. And we have actually been guaranteed the victory. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 10 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 16. For the one who desires life to live and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears attend to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence. Keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. What I really wanted to drive in there is verse 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? If you are zealous for righteousness, if you are zealous for Christ, and if you are doing that with your life, really can what can the world do to you? You know, they can call you names, they can persecute you, you could even die a martyr for Christ. But you win at that point. You know, the world can't really harm you if you're zealous for Christ. You know, like I said, they might call you names. You might look like a fool to the world. Well, the apostles looked like fools to the world. They looked crazy, you know. But they were serving God. Who can harm us if we're zealous for God? No one. So we really need to apply this for ourselves. But I also want to take it a little bit of step forward here. We also need to apply it to those in the body as well. This may sound fairly simple, but let me ask you, have you ever put someone in a box because of their past experiences? It's very easy to look at an individual and say, well, you know, and you start to develop a view, a preconceived view of who they are, what they're able to do, and you start to put them in a box and say, oh, that's all they'll ever be able to do. You know, it's easy to do. Or if you see a brother or sister, let's say they make a mistake. Let's say they botch it. Let's say Mr. Schaefer got up here and totally botched the prayer. Right? We're never going to let him do a prayer again. You know, not that it happens to prayer. Schaefer's an awesome man of prayer. But it's easy to do, you know. But it's easy to do. You get a preconceived idea because someone might botch it. They might make a mistake. Like, they'll never get that right. Well, the minute you say they'll never get that right, they'll never get it right in your mind. No matter even what they do. They might knock it out of the park, but you'll still find something wrong. Why? Because that preconceived idea. We cannot have preconceived ideas about people. You do get to know people, and you know their strengths and where they're at, but that should never keep us from encouraging them to do more. Because you never know what someone, what the Holy Spirit is capable of. Jump to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's really the premise of this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. You know, we always apply that. You know, I'm a new creation. But also, remember, all those around you are new creations as well. You know, and that means their past flesh is gone. Whatever you may know about their history, it's gone. You know what? Each day, each moment, they're new in Christ Jesus. They may have totally botched it in the past. They may have even botched it as a Christian. Might have happened. But you know what? God's forgiven it, so you know, who am I to hold on to it? I can't. You got it. We have to let it go and let them go. See, they may have failed 100 times. What's the best thing you can do if you fail 100 times? Try the 101st. Give it another shot. But a lot of times, I know if I failed 100 times, I'm going to be a little hesitant to try that 101st time. So you never know where that word of encouragement might go that you give to a brother and sister in Christ who is really fighting or struggling to overcome something. You know, that's why we have to view them as who they are, as new creations. God has put their path to death. He's forgiven them and sees them as who they can be in Christ. We need to do this too as a body. We can never judge a brother or sister based upon their past. I'm not saying be reckless, but don't put people in a box. You know, I see this happens at work sometimes. People will try a new task or project, you know, and they might botch it up. They might make a mistake, you know, and all of a sudden they never get to try anything cool again. You know, I always encourage people that either work for me, work with, whatever. You know, so, well, does this work? I'm like, I don't know, but try it. It doesn't work, eh? Well, we learned something. It doesn't work. You know, that's how you learn. You know, I like people to try different things because I've seen people create some really cool stuff. You know, from a technological perspective, I've seen, you know, things really knocked it out of the park. And I work for a guy who lets me try about anything I want. And I think we've done some really cool stuff there at work. But that's from a physical. You know, what can we do when we let people out of the box spiritually? Some of the greatest discoveries in the world were made by mistake or made by accidents. Some others were made through perseverance. Most people really succeed, though, when others believe in them. Like I said, I know I do. I do appreciate how great this assembly really is at getting people involved. You know, hats off to the assembly. We always have new guys up here, you know, preaching, speaking, Lord's Supper, you know, whatever it is. And I know they're doing a shift in the... it's great that we have so many people who want to do Sunday school classes. You know, I think that's really cool. You know, some people are just getting here or doing Sunday school classes. That's awesome. That really is great because you know what? That's people involved. They want to be in the game. They want to try. They want to put forth their talents and their efforts. You know, and really, who knows where they may go? They might do something great. But first, before they can do something great, they have to be given a chance to try. Let's close with 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, you read that word, overcome, and that shows up a lot in the first the letters in Revelation. Well, in order to be an overcomer, you got to overcome something. It means you're going to have to take on some challenges. There's going to be some battles you're going to face, you know. But you know what? You're guaranteed you're going to be an overcomer. It says to him who overcomes. Doesn't say, well, if you overcome. It says to him who overcomes. And basically, you know, it's your choice whether or not you're going to be an overcomer. But the first thing you got to do is put that, get that first step of faith out there and start trying. And you never know what God will do with you. To be a Christian means you face challenges. You'll face challenges from the inside, overcoming sin. You'll face challenges from the outside, getting the gospel out and dealing with the persecution of your faith. It's the best day to deal with those challenges head on. You know, just do your best. You know, God's not going to drop you on your head. That's not His. That is not His status throughout history. Those who tried, those who did their best, whether it be Israel, whether it be the apostles, you know, he took care of them. You know, he takes care of those whose hearts are fully dedicated to him. The number one thing you can do is never let your past experiences dictate your future actions. Past experiences have no bearing on future performance for those who are in Christ. In Christ, all things really are new. I encourage you to apply this to your life. This is really, I think, what it means to act act in faith. I mean, it means to not be scared to try new things. You know, maybe it's a brand new year coming up. Maybe, I don't know what you guys' Bible reading is. Maybe you've tried to have daily Bible readings scheduled and it just hasn't worked out. You know what you should do? Try again. You know, that's really it. Maybe you've tried, try again. You know, get a Bible reading buddy, someone to hold you accountable. You know, whatever it takes, you know. Maybe there's some opportunities to serve here in the body you can do. Maybe there's somebody even wanting to talk to you about the gospel. Or, you know, whatever it is, the best thing to do is to try. To get out there and step out on faith. That's really what faith is. It's working and doing something that you might not have done before, that you're not fully sure exactly how you're going to accomplish it, but you're going to do your best. It's doing things that we don't exactly know how they're going to turn out. I also encourage you to apply this to your brothers and sisters. If you see somebody teaching a new class, you know, tell them they're doing a great job. You know, it might take them. I mean, if I was to, you know, I was, I came up teaching the little kids. The one, I really appreciate those who started the class like Mackenzie's age, because I'd be clueless on that one. You know, that's a step of faith. Two, three, and one-year-olds in a room. But I appreciate that. But no one was doing that. They just decided to do it. Fantastic example of faith. Really was, you know. And now that's really rolling. I appreciate those who got that going. But, you know, if I started doing something like that, I'd never done it before, I'd probably wonder the first few weeks if I had a clue what I was doing or if it was right. Encourage those people. I really encourage you guys to encourage them. You know, encourage them in that. Because sometimes it's a little bit scary doing stuff we haven't done before. But when we let people do stuff like that, they may really surprise us. The words of Paul that we started out with, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Paul really lived this. If you look at his life, he was never held back by his past experiences. You know, I mean, if someone really could have been held back by his past experiences, Paul could have. I mean, he sat there and watched Stephen get stoned to death. You know, but he never let it slow him down. And you know, and there's probably some people who, it'll actually read in the scriptures, it was, isn't he who once persecuted the faith? You know, what if they held him in that box? You know, no, they didn't. And you see what he did. I bet he really surprised some people, you know, in a good way. That's what God can really do when we move forward in faith. Paul stepped out in faith. He applied these principles, and we can see what God did with Paul. So I encourage you to go imitate Paul as Paul imitated Christ. Thanks.